Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in the Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. And this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing. But we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show.
I'm Rob McCallum, director of the NES Club, and you're listening to Two Dudes and an NES.
Hey, Justin. Justin. Hello, Justin. What? That's weird. No, but we have you, and you care to enlighten people as to who you are? You non-Justin person, you.
I'm George Vosper. I'm one of the hosts of Master System Masterpieces, a podcast that is basically almost a rival podcast to yours, actually.
Yeah, if you want to get down to the technical terms, it is straight up rival to the NES, I guess. Yeah, Justin will not be able to be with us this morning. He had a last-minute sick little dudette, so it's just going to be George and I today.
Oh no!
But it'll still be a good show. I know we'll miss Justin's witty banter and his beautiful history segment, but it'll be okay.
I was really looking forward to actually talking to him.
Yeah, well, maybe next time. So, George. Before, I know you said you're from the Master System Masterpieces, but can you tell us where to find you, and then we'll kick into some history.
Where to find us? Well, you can go on my website, which is theboxfort.net. We host our podcast on there, but we are also on iTunes, and we are on Stitcher for anyone who uses their Android devices. You could also follow my co-host and I. Eric is at Eric Thomas Games, whereas I'm at Mr. Chief, and that is MisturChef. And I believe that's it so far. We have a Facebook group as well.
Sweet, sweet. All right, so in lieu of Justin, I have asked George to pull up Wikipedia and read the first paragraph. So that's going to be our history segment this week. A little lacking, but maybe I can throw in a few tidbits here and there of things that I know if Wikipedia doesn't cover it.
Hey, I mean, still getting some info from Wikipedia.
That's right.
Tales of the Unknown, Volume 1, better known by its subtitle The Bard's Tale, is a fantasy role-playing video game created by Interplay Productions in 1985 and distributed by Electronic Arts. It was designed and programmed by Michael Cranford. Based loosely on traditional Dungeons & Dragons gameplay and inspired by the Wizardry computer games, The Bard's Tale was noteworthy for its unprecedented 3D graphics and partly animated character portraits. The Bard was also an innovation. The Bard was author Michael Cranford's contribution to the genre, a character who casts spells by singing one of six tunes. It was originally released for the Apple II and was also ported to the Commodore 64, Apple IIgs, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad CPC, Commodore Amiga, Atari ST, DOS, Apple Macintosh, and of course the NES platforms.
Yes, the NES, the port, if you want, if the, you know, anyway, sorry, I'm getting a little tongue-tied because I was trying to say that it's not a very good port, but we'll get that, we'll get to that. It actually is a good port.
You're so tongue-tied because Justin isn't here.
Yeah,
you're
I have trouble.
So much.
I do. I mean, I put this on low-quality video, not because we're trying to fix the bandwidth problems, but because I'm trying to hide my tears.
Oh, that's why. I just thought your internet was bad.
It's probably your internet, because just I don't have any problem, just saying.
Oh, really? No. That's interesting, because we have an upgraded plan over here. You want to duke it out?
No, I don't. So, the music was also composed by Lawrence Holland. There's another little tidbit. Yeah, so Michael Cranford, I didn't realize this, and this may be just me inferring the wrong thing, but did he actually, I guess he actually created the Bard as a character in D&D type games.
Yeah, it seems like it. It's really interesting because Bard is, you know, it's not really a combat character, but you can still use it as a combat character. It's mostly used as, like, a character that gives out buffs or maybe does healing. It depends on what kind of D&D you're looking at, which game or whatever book. And,
yeah,
it's
he's
really interesting.
He's definitely a support character in the majority of games that you play.
Right.
But it's just it's a cool character just in general because he, you know, he plays music and it makes magic. So
sings, yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. All right, so the quest for the cart.
And now, Michael's quest to find the cart!
Will say that I had honestly never heard of this game until you brought it up. So I didn't have it as a kid, obviously.
I'm sure you probably would have hated it as a kid.
Yeah. I will say that I would have definitely hated it as a kid. In fact,
yeah.
Well, we'll wait till we get to the gameplay segment. But no, I didn't have it. And I still technically don't have it because the copy that I got to play for the show, this copy here that I'm showing into the video, is the copy that I got to give out to the D-Padders and the Patreon.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
So this, the only copy I have.
I copy myself.
Yeah, the only copy I have is the copy that I got to give away for the show. So I don't actually own a copy myself. So, the quest for the cart was, I went and found it for the show. That's, and I never actually owned it, and may never actually own it, technically. So,
oh. Okay.
Spoilers, a little hint of spoilers. But let's just go ahead and talk about this game a little bit.
Two dudes in an NES present the game discussion. 3, 2, 1, go.
I think it is a really well-made game to start off.
Okay.
I have issues getting just this is just a personal issue. This is not anything against the game, but I have issues getting into these really deep RPG type games, because this is a deep RPG. I mean, when you I spent
yeah, this
the
is...
first thing I did was I spent 30 minutes setting up my party and naming all the characters and stuff, which I named after honorary dudes, by the way. Just wanted to throw that out there. So you
want to go into this now? What did you name your characters?
Okay, let's see. How many were there? Were there five? I think there was five. Maybe six.
Six. There's six characters in the party, I believe.
There's what? How many? Six?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's six.
Six. See, okay, so I know I named one. Yes. I named one Justin. I named one Michael. And then I named one George. Because of the show here.
And then I think the rest of them I filled out with maybe Dude Joe, Dude Sean, and I can't remember the last one. Maybe it was Dude Clayton. I'm not sure. But yeah, I named them after the dudes.
I name them after characters, and one's actually some kind of star. But I had Mario the Warrior, Luigi the Rogue, Billy Joel the Warrior, Pit the Hunter, Sonic the Sorcerer, and Alex Kidd the Wizard. And it took me a while to figure those names out.
Yeah. Well, I guess I should also say I had a wizard, a bard, a rogue, a sorcerer, and a hunter. So I don't remember who is who.
Yeah, see, I stepped away from the bard.
Well, I figured I had to have a bard for it's the bard's tale, you know?
Well, I mean, the bard could be singing about a party he was never in. I mean,
That's true.
bards usually sang songs of adventure and they never really took part into it. So.
Well, okay. See, I don't know much about that's why you're good to have it on the show, because I don't know much about D&D and all this stuff. Never played it, never really
Well,
had the desire to play it, but
I'm just talking about like around the era of bards. You know, they never really adventured.
yeah. So I would say, okay, so after I did all that, spent all that time making my characters, from that point forward, I maybe played the game a minimal amount of time after that, because I just honestly could not get into this game. I feel like there was so much that I needed to do or needed to know about the game before. And I don't know if you noticed, we haven't had a manual segment. That's because I couldn't find a manual for this game. So not only did I not have a manual to figure out how to play it, but I didn't look up any strategy guides. I just jumped right in. Spent all this time making my characters
That's exactly what I did.
and then just
Yeah.
wandered around for maybe 30 minutes to an hour, and that's pretty much my experience with the
If you listen to my podcast, you'll hear that I like to jump into a game without reading the manual at first. And I did that with this game. And I didn't really refer to the manual except for one thing, which was party combat, if you've ever seen that.
No, I don't. I'm not sure what that is.
Okay, so party combat is literally what it is. You can actually attack people in your own party. And there's actually some good reasons for it. I haven't seen a reason that I should do it, but apparently your characters can be confused and maybe they attack your people in your
Yeah.
party or something like that, so you have to attack them.
I guess
I
that
never
makes
got to
sense.
that.
Sometimes you, I like I know in some later Final Fantasy games, you need to knock your party members out of confusion and stuff by smacking them on the head. So I can see that.
Right. You said that you didn't really play it for that long, and I was afraid that I didn't play long enough for this, but I guess I played much more than you did.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad because we had just got through talking about how we were going to go bi-weekly so that we could dig more into the game. Of course, we didn't. It's only been a week since Justin and I recorded. So I technically only had a week to play this game. But I mean, I feel like I got a pretty good feel for this just because I've played other games like this. These first person
Right.
RPG games where you walk through basically you're dungeon crawling in a first person's perspective where you're walking through and leveling up and gaining gold and experience and stuff. I've played through a lot of games like that. They've never really been my style. I've always really actually kind of not liked them at all. But I will
Yeah, I don't
say,
blame you.
saying that though, I mean, this is a really, for an NES game, this is a really, really good, really detailed version of one of those styles of games. If it's your style of game, I mean, then this is a pretty good representation of that, especially on the NES. There's a little bit of a
Oh, yeah.
little bit of a learning curve just because you're scrolling through tons of text to pick certain things, but
Just a reminder to you and everyone who's listening, this game is actually a port of a CRPG, so it is probably going to be hard to get into. RPGs for computers back in the 80s and even early 90s were very deep. They weren't really streamlined. So I don't blame you for cutting out early on this game.
Yeah, this is one of those games where you really need to make a map as you're playing it, because the dungeons are, they are really, really detailed and really, really confusing. I'm going to try to see if I can pull up just like one of the first levels, because...
So there's actually two perspectives you get, because there's a little map you get in the top right, and there's also the first person perspective on the left side. And I decided not to use the first person perspective because everything looked the same, basically, and it was very confusing. So I just basically spent my time walking around looking at the top right, and I basically labeled everything in my mind of what room was what, and I already knew which room was the Adventurer's Guild and which building was the shop and everything in the first little strip you start out in.
Yeah.
But, here, there were a lot of empty buildings.
Yeah, I'm going to show... I'm just going to show here. This is one of the early levels of the game here.
This is the first level. Oh, no, this is... Okay, this is the sewers.
Yeah, but this is just...
Wow.
Yeah, that's how confusing these maps are in these dungeons. I wish the people listening could see what we're seeing, even though you can go on YouTube and see it, or you can just search the sewers level 2. But this is just a map that somebody's drawn on the piece of graph paper or on the computer or something. And you can tell by George's reaction when I showed it that it's crazy. Imagine like the mazes that you play as when you're a kid, you know, you got a book of mazes and you're trying to figure. Imagine that, but then multiply it by 3 or 4 because it's that much more confusing.
Yeah, to try to do it justice for myself, if you ever play the snail maze game on the Master System, it's like 5 times worse than that.
Yeah. So they didn't skimp on dungeon design, you know. They really went into detail. And that's like you said, that's kind of the computer game shtick, you know. It's really detailed maps. It's really in-depth character leveling up and all this stuff. So it's just kind of, it's a port. It's a really good port, but it's a port. It's a game that probably should be played on the computer instead of the NES. But if the NES is all you have, yeah.
The thing is, you say that it's very detailed at everything, and it is, you know, it's hard to get into, but this game's a little bit watered down from the computer versions, depending on which version you compare it to. So imagine trying to play it on, like, a Commodore or an Apple II GS.
Yeah, right. I will say that... Well, no, I'll save that for just a moment. So let me just, I'll go into the combat for a minute. I think the combat is, it's your basic turn-based attack, guard, use an item, cast a spell, run away, right? It's a typical RPG setup.
There's nothing special about it.
There's nothing special about it, but it does have, like, my biggest RPG turn-based battle system pet peeve in it. And that is... When you're attacking and you're choosing attacks for all your party, if you have like 3 people attacking the same guy and the first guy kills him, then the other two will try to attack a blank spot, and then so you just lose their turn. That's like
I figured you were gonna say that, yeah, because that's probably, I realized that too.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest RPG pet peeve, is that they're so stupid that they don't decide, oh, well, that guy's not there. Maybe I should attack the guy next to him. But small gripe, I guess.
I don't remember if you talked about this when you did Final Fantasy, but it's in the original Final Fantasy as well.
It is, and
it's a problem in the old games.
Yeah, it's in a lot of old games back in the day. Remember, this game was made in... It was originally made in 1985, so...
Yeah.
Back when I was the ripe age of... Zero and some months. So I guess you can't fault them too much. I think it actually released on the NES in 91, though, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Oh, I was like -3.
You know, I feel bad because I honestly don't have a whole lot to say about this game, other than just if you're in today's day and age, and if you're really into this type of game, it may be easier to find and play a PC port of it, or do the demo, quote unquote demo mode, for a better system more suited for this than the NES. But if I'm looking back to, you know, the 80s, early 90s, and all you have is an NES, and you really want to get into a dungeon crawling RPG, this would actually be, I think it would be a really good game for that. But it's kind of a niche purpose there, you know?
Yes, yeah, so I have some things I want to say.
No, please, I'm not closing out. I'm just kind of wrapping up my thoughts.
Well, here. No, I mean, I'm just sitting here and you're just going on talking. I just figured maybe I could do that. Just say. But the thing is, it's very hard to get into. I mean, I just jumped right into it. I was fine, but I play a lot of games like this. It's nice to feel around and try to figure out what you're doing, but you have to have such an open mind in this kind of game. I wrote down a decent amount of notes, and I didn't even really look into the manual. I looked into the manual just for that one thing, like I said before, which is the party combat. But there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of spells that you can get, and the way that you level up. Do you know how you can level up?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I assumed it was just from defeating enemies, like most games.
No, so what you have to do is, I figured this out by myself, there's actually a room or a building you have to go to, and you have to talk to a review council to level up, and obviously you have to have enough experience.
Okay, see,
but, you talk to the council and they level up.
Yeah, I thought something was weird because I was thinking I was beating a lot of groups of enemies and like I was never leveling up. I just thought maybe the experience tier was way up there, and it never, either that or the game was just leveling me up and I didn't even notice or something. But
It's well worth it though, because when you get to level 2 on your characters, it's much easier, and then when you get to level 3, it's much easier. It gets really easy actually when you level up your characters just to level 2.
Yeah. I may have to go back to the game and play it a little bit more after we record before I ship it out to our winner. But what else you got?
Well, also going on the whole leveling thing, when you go to the review council, and I'm not sure what levels it is, but for sorcerers and wizards, when they get to level 2, you can get new spells, but you have to have 100 gold to pay them to get new spells. And my characters are right now, they're level 4 going on level 5, and I haven't gotten another set of spells yet. Getting all that, it's hard to revive a character when they die, and I have Luigi, and Luigi kept dying. He died at least twice so far, and you need 300 gold and go to the healer to revive him, and then he revives him, and he only has one health, so you have to have more money to pay for his healing, or you can just use your wizard. Is it wizard? Or is it sorcerer? I believe it's wizard. To if he has a level 2 spell slot, you can use the word of healing, I believe it is, and you could heal him.
Yeah, and money is not exactly abundant in this game either. It's kind of scarce from what I saw.
Okay, so what I believe is how it works is, when you defeat a group of enemies and you get your gold, I think each character gets that certain amount of gold that you get from defeating them. So say if you get 5 gold, I think you actually get 5 gold per character, and that really helps out, Because if you were only getting 5 gold, I would probably put down the scape.
Yeah. So I guess the different character classes get different amounts of gold then.
Something like that. Also, have you encountered thieves? I fought thieves before, and they dropped, I believe it was 60 gold. So imagine that, 60 gold per character that's alive.
Yeah.
Was really helpful.
Yeah, I didn't find any thieves.
But I only encountered them once.
I found orcs and like a dragon and or some
goblins.
Yeah,
or
goblin.
Kobolds or.
Yeah, something like that. And I can't remember what all I found.
I could probably name off all the basic enemies you could find because I played a lot of this game, actually. There's kobolds, there's orcs, there's goblins, there's mad dogs, there's conjurers. Conjurers sometimes conjure up wolves, and those wolves are not easy to fight because they apparently physical attacks don't hurt them, so you have to use your magic.
Mm.
And I had two characters, or is it one? One or two characters die from fighting just that one wolf that was conjured up.
Yeah, that's tricky. I know in a lot of RPGs they do that where you can't damage an enemy through physical attacks, so you have to use magic. And those always were the ones that really frustrated me whenever I was playing RPGs.
But the thing is, you could conjure up the same wolf if you have a sorcerer. That's one of his level 2 spells, is I believe it's called Instant Wolf, which is a silly name. But that wolf does pretty good. And I've noticed if you look at the characters, there's AC, which is armor class, and the lower the number, the more armor your character has. The wolf has -5, which I'm not sure what that means exactly.
Hmm.
Whereas you start out with 10, and then you get leather armor, it's 8, and so on.
Now, I want to read this real quick here. I did find, and I know I don't have the manual, but I did find the back of the box, and it's got a pretty cool, and actually very enticing, not story, but kind of a, you should play this game here, you know? So I'm going to read this real quick, because it's pretty good. Long ago, monsters were set loose in the city of Scarabray by Mangar the Dark, a malevolent mage. Now you create a band of 6 adventurers to seek out and conquer the monstrous creatures that lurk within. Choose each hero's class: warrior, weapons expert, rogue, sneaky fighter, hunter, ninja assassin, wizard, 21 spells, or sorcerer, 22 spells.
Ooh.
And the bard, a wandering minstrel. Though each hero is strong in battle, the bard's special weapon is his magical music, which has devastating effects on your fearsome foes. Hone your combat skills through 16 complex maze levels as you face dragons, trolls, nomads, and other hideous creatures. And then it's got some bullet points here. PC role-playing hit adapted for the NES. 1-player game. 7-member party. 6 active characters. 43 spells and 2 classes of magic. Mad dogs and many other loathsome beasts. And a scrolling map.
Ah, that's got me hooked. But, yeah, wow, I didn't know that the reason why there were monsters in the town was because some guy named, what was it, Mangar?
Mangar, yeah. Mangar. Mangar.
I don't know what that, I don't know where they came up with that, but that's interesting because I just thought, I don't know, the town has monsters for some reason.
Yeah.
It was just odd to me.
Yeah, apparently there's a really mean guy conjuring up all these monsters.
There's a mean guy in an RPG?
Yeah. Go figure, right? No, but the back of the box is pretty good. I like the box art for this game. Everybody's sitting around listening to the bard play on his harp. And then you...
Okay, so what's cool, I believe I played the Commodore version, or I played a computer version. And when you start the game on the NES, excuse me, when you start up the game on the NES, it's a picture of two guys just standing there and there's a fireplace. Mm-hmm. But on the computer version, from what I remember, there's actually somebody playing like a lute or some kind of harp. And that was, I just thought that was interesting. As well as speaking about the computer version, I actually have the Bard's Tale for Commodore 64 on two floppies. And the problem is right now that my floppy drive doesn't work, so I can't play it. Yeah, I was gonna try to play it for the show, but too
Yeah,
much.
from what I understand, the Commodore version is heads and tails above the NES version, but we're talking NES here.
I'll argue, which probably a lot of people will argue, that the NES version looks much better than the Commodore version.
Well, this game definitely, we hadn't talked about graphics yet, but this game looks amazing. I mean, it's the characters are very detailed. Of course, it's not characters like you would think in a 2D side-scrolling sense. This is more of a,
No.
you see the enemies as a portrait, but the portraits of the enemies are really, really good and detailed. I was really impressed. And although the dungeons are kind of, they're a little bit bland to me because you're just kind of getting a floor color, a wall color, and then a ceiling color for the most part. And a lot of the places
Right.
that I saw, when you go into places like shops and stuff like you were talking about, they are all real detailed too. So.
Yeah, the thing is, the outside, you can't tell what's what building wise. But when you get in there, there's a nice image waiting for you, like the weapon shop. There's a guy standing there, and behind him is a bunch of equipment that you can buy.
Or like the, I guess it's the bar, is it, or the pub or whatever? I don't know what they call it in this game.
I never really went into it that much. I went into it once to see what it was, and yeah, it's just that, there's a guy sitting behind a bar, and there's a few guys sitting on stools, and
Yeah,
he
and some
has his
bottles in the
inventory.
background,
Right.
Yeah, so it's, I think the graphics in this game are probably one of the shining features. On the NES, the again, it was ported, but I don't think it lost. I'm looking right now at some screenshots from different systems, and I really don't think
No.
I don't think it lost anything going to the NES, really.
No, not really. It looks great for the time, especially on the NES. The thing is, like I said before, it is a little watered down, but they did a good job importing it, and you usually don't see stuff like that for that time.
Now, what did you think about the music in the game? I mean, this is the Bard's Tale. This should have the best music on the NES, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I felt like the music was a little lacking, but I feel like when you try to port a game that's on a computer that might have, well, that will have better hardware, bringing the audio to the NES is honestly not going to be in question, so you have to try to change it up and do the best you can with that hardware. And we're not talking about, like, music that's recorded and put onto the thing that you're playing. It's all generated from the hardware of the NES, and that's a big challenge if you're going to move over to the platform with one game that you have already made.
Yeah, a lot of issues, and you're kind of dancing around it there. A lot of issues with the NES is the best NES music is typically music that's made for the game because it's
Yes.
made for that game because it's designed for the NES, all this stuff. When you start getting into porting things over to the NES and you're trying to recreate songs that are already made for another system, the NES's sound hardware is really lacking compared to a lot of other systems. And so when you do that, it always sounds a little off and it never really sounds, it's obviously doesn't sound perfect in representing the other game, but it also it's almost like it's either missing something here and there or they've added things in that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, the problem was that there's not enough sound channels on the NES, or that the NES could support. So that's why the music was pretty lacking. But I don't even really feel like it was fitting. Maybe when you're walking around the town, that little tune that you get. But when you start out the game, you boot it up for the first time, it's not really a song you would hear if you entered some kind of adventurer's guild or some kind of pub where there's a bard playing. But you know, they honestly tried, and you have to give them that.
Yeah, I give them credit for trying. But I'm kind of with you. I think that's probably the sore spot for this game, other than its steep learning curve, which I think for me was its biggest kicker.
Oh yeah, I mean, RPGs of that time had definitely a learning curve that is pretty big. Kids obviously wouldn't have a good time playing this game.
Right.
But if somebody wants to sit down and play a game, you sit down and you play The Bard's Tale.
Yeah, if you're willing to invest in something like this, I could see how it could be gratifying. But
So the thing is, I believe this has a battery backup,
it
right?
does, yep.
Okay, so the thing is, my battery's dead. And I did play it on my original NES before when we wanted to, when we were talking about doing this episode a while back. And I lost my save. It's a good thing that I didn't play too much. But it's also a good thing I got a Retron
I was
5
just about to
because I
say,
popped it
yeah.
into the Retron. And it saved all right.
Yeah, I was about to say, I see over your shoulder there, you've got the box for the Retron 5.
Oh yeah, that's
That's
right.
one of the perks to that system is you don't have to worry about the batteries in the NES games anymore. So.
Yeah, it's definitely helpful. It also helps me play Japanese games too, so
Yeah,
that's
that's
good.
true. I do appreciate the Retron. Just a little ranch Retron tangent here. I
Yeah.
love it. I hate the controller.
I was just gonna say that the controller is horrible. As much as it's really cool because it's Bluetooth, go out and get an original controller. I'm using a Super Famicom controller for NES and Super Nintendo,
Yeah.
as obviously as well as Famicom and Super Famicom. And then I have a Genesis controller that I use for those.
I think it would have been really nice if, and maybe they'll do this eventually, is if they let you use a PS3 controller because it's Bluetooth as well.
Well, it's running off of the Android operating system,
Right, so it should be
as
able
a
to.
base. So you might be able to actually connect it, but I'm not sure.
But anyways, that's enough of that tangent. But it is a really cool system for those out
Yeah.
there who are interested. You can also do ROM hacks on it by putting the original game in there. And then sideloading the IPS file in an SD
Yeah,
card so
you
you can
can.
actually hack the
Yeah,
games.
you can patch. Yeah, you can patch the game, and some people fix things, but I do it for translations. So I have Final Fantasy V, and I've been playing that, and that's been translated. It's been really good.
Yeah, the
So,
translation thing is
but
cool.
enough of
And
that.
yeah. Anyways, so anybody's interested, I would recommend it. It's a pretty cool little system.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so do you got anything else to say about the game? I don't want to.
I have a lot to say.
Go ahead, man. Well, I'm not going to cut you off.
So eventually, yeah. Eventually, when you're exploring, you'll find a statue if you go down south. And the statue, if you check it, a wizard comes out of it. And the wizard is really hard to fight. So I fought the wizard and I beat him, but two of my characters died. And then I scurried away after I beat him. I gained money. I tried to gain money to revive them, and I eventually did. Actually revived Luigi, which was one of the characters that died, this morning. Or was it? It was last night. I revived him last night, and I played a little bit and I leveled him up. But I was playing, la la la. I was going around, and then I come back and I go down south again, and the statue's there. And I say, "Oh no!" And I leave and I just run away from it because that wizard is really hard to fight. I don't know if you noticed, but there is when you open up the menu, there's an order command. And what I found really cool was not only can you change the order of the characters, obviously, you can change who steps into the front to fight and who stays on the back. And I had the four characters in the front, which was the two warriors, the rogue, and the hunter. They were all in the front, and I put obviously the sorcerer and the wizard in the back. And Something I wrote down here in the notes was mind darts. So something you can get for level 2 sorcerer is something called mind darts. And when there's a group of enemies, so say like there's maybe 4 orcs or something like that in one little cluster, because the battle system is there can be up to 3 different groups, and there'll be a certain amount of enemies in that one group. And when you use mind darts has an attack number of, say, there's 4 orcs. You'll attack 4 times, and usually I one-shot those characters or those enemies, and you can defeat them in one turn, and it's really helpful for that.
That's pretty cool. I like the names of things in this game. Mind darts, instant wolf,
right? Arc fire. Yeah. That's a good one.
I think they got some pretty clever names.
Yes. So, did you have a character where the enemies attacked mostly? Because all the enemies I encountered mostly attacked Luigi to kill him.
Yeah, I felt like that too. I feel like it always attacked my weaker characters for some reason.
Yeah.
Like my bard was being attacked all the time.
Did you leave him in the back or did you keep him in the front?
You know, I honestly don't know, because I didn't mess around with the order thing too much. He was probably in the front.
I don't think they can attack anyone in the back, so if you leave him in the back, that's good for weak characters or characters you can't heal, and you want them to get experience still. That's good for...
I probably should have put him and all of my magic people should have probably been in the back. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't mess around with the order thing, so I didn't really know... I didn't really know if they were in the back or the front.
Also, when you go into a shop, did you notice that the shopkeeper wants to talk to one person individually?
What do you mean by that? Maybe I did.
So when you enter a shop, say like the weapon shop, and he says, "Who wants to buy from me?" And you select your character, and then he says, "Oh, well, hello."
Oh, yeah. I did notice that.
So... I thought that was really interesting. Instead of having the whole general, you know, whole parties just buying, it's one character himself is buying for himself, basically.
Yeah, it actually makes it a little bit easier to understand where the equipment and stuff is going.
Right, because there's no general inventory. It's all inventory on the characters. Right.
I know a lot of times in games you'll buy equipment and stuff, and it goes into this general inventory for the whole party, and then you have to divvy it out. And that sometimes gets a little confusing, I think, depending on the game. But this kind of fixes that a little bit.
The problem is things are expensive in the equipment shop, and you have to basically pool all your gold together just to try to get equipment for some people. You can't even get equipment for everyone.
Again, that kind of goes back to my lack of gold thing.
Right.
But
once you start playing the game more and more and you encounter harder enemies, like I said, the thieves, you know, they drop 60 gold for each character. That was amazing. And then I realized that things were still expensive, even though I had like 900 gold.
Well, part of the problem, too, is you're trying to buy for 6 characters, you know? That's a lot of characters.
Yeah, and that's the problem. When a mithril axe is 1,400 gold, you're not going to be getting that for a while.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you. Justin and I have started this thing where we like to decide if the game is worth it, right? And so I'll tell you how much I got the Deep Adder game for. It was about, I think it was about $12. So, is this game worth $12?
Is it worth
for
$12?
The NES? We're talking about the NES. We're talking about playing it on the NES, buying it, and using it to that's the game that you're gonna the next game you're gonna buy and play on the NES. Is it worth the $12 to buy and play this game, or would you save that $12 and maybe go somewhere else?
So, I don't remember how much I paid for this, but I got this a few years ago. And obviously in a store that not really overcharges too much, but, you know, puts a higher price tag on things. And $12 is something I would pay for this game. I'd probably not beat it though, but $12 I'd say is something I'd pay for it. I wouldn't call it a masterpiece, but I'd say it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty cool game. I think I would probably only pay. I don't know. This is a tough one because this is a game you can get a lot of playtime out of.
But the thing is, it can be tedious and it's not streamlined at all,
Right,
so.
exactly. So you could get this game and not like it and or get bored with it fairly easily too. So I don't know. I'm almost of the mindset that I would save that money, and because there's a lot of good games on the NES,
Oh,
and there's a
totally.
lot of games that you can get for $12 and under. So I'm of the mindset that unless you're just a huge D&D dungeon crawling type of fan, this game is probably not the best game to get for that $12. My dog agrees. Okay, so did you come up with any retrofitted trophies?
If only I had some retrofitted trophies. See how that segue worked out?
I did, in fact. You want me to
Sweet.
start?
Yes, please go ahead.
All right, my first one is Mario, you greedy SOB. That's have your first character pull all of the money into his own inventory.
And your first character being Mario.
Yes.
I hope you have one for Luigi.
Don't. Oh wait, I do. I'm sorry, I do.
Well, go ahead and give me that one because I don't have
Do
a
you want me?
whole bunch.
Okay, so another one is called Another 300 Gold Down the Drain, and that's revive a single character two or more times.
That guy's just dragging you down. Okay,
Oh yeah,
I got one of
definitely.
mine. This one's called the Billboard Top 100, and that is beat this game 100 times.
Oh. You should be getting like a platinum or something
Yeah.
for that.
Yeah, hold on. You're about to steal my next one. My next one is platinum record. And to get the platinum record, you have to beat this game without ever losing a character. Like a character never dies.
You deserve like a Nobel Peace Prize for the.
You got any more?
I do. This one's called You May Advance, and that's talk to the review council so they let you increase your level.
Cool.
I have two more. Do you have any
Go ahead and
more?
give me your two more. I think I only have one more.
Okay. I have Bullseye, which is have a character cast mind darts and kill the whole group of enemies. And my last one is that all you've got? And that is kill all enemies in one turn.
Kill all enemies in one turn. That's so you do that with the mind darts then, right?
Oh, you could do that with the mind darts, but you can also have your warriors attack and everything, so.
If you can keep them attacking the right people, right?
Yes. You could be, you could be, you could have a strategy for this game, so.
Okay, my last one, and you're probably going to figure out the theme that I've had going on this on my retrofitted trophies this time. This one is Gimme That Grammy. And to get Gimme That Grammy, you have to buy all the weapons in the game.
Oh, wow. That's tough.
Yeah, I went with two themes this episode. Impossible trophies or impossible
Right.
trophies and music themed because it's the Bard's Tale.
Right. That's pretty cool. I just wrote down trophies that for things that I did. So, I was saying, oh, Luigi, I have to revive you for the second time. I was just like, wait, that could be a
Yeah.
trophy. And that's basically how I did my
Normally,
trophies.
that's how I do my trophies, but since I didn't play this game
Play
a
too
whole
much?
lot, I felt like I needed to really step up my game in the trophy, so I went with a theme, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I really like that.
All right, so let's give this game a rating. But as you know, on this show, we don't actually give it a rating. We just kind of give it something that kind of represents the game. I guess. Do you have any ideas?
You did musical instruments before, I believe, right?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking going with a musical instrument, but I'm trying to think. I feel like we've done it before, too.
Yeah, I believe you've done
okay,
that
before. Okay, so I don't think we can do a musical instrument then.
I believe you did type of animal.
Yeah, I know we've done type of animal. Let's give this a song.
Okay.
Let's give it a song. Let's give this game a song.
All right, I think
okay,
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if you know about this song, but it's I would give this Spaceman by The Killers.
Okay.
And song's kind of weird and silly. And, you know, this game isn't something you should really, really, really get serious into. You know, just try to have your fun with this game. It's an interesting game. Just like the song is an interesting song. And you should definitely take a listen, take a play, and see how you like it.
Okay. I like it. Now, I will say, though, if you want to enjoy this game, you shouldn't take it serious. But if you want to actually play this game and beat it, you have to take it serious.
I guess. I mean, I was playing it not too, too serious. So I was just going around and killing enemies and trying to have my fun with it. And that's probably how I got myself to really play this game.
Okay, well, I'm going to give... because I personally feel like you'd really have to dig into this game in order to beat it, in order to play it to the end. I'm going to give this game... I think you would have to earn it. And I'm also going to date our podcast a little bit here, because a song that's out right now on the Billboard top charts is Earned It by The Weeknd. And... So I think this game is Earned It, because if you beat it, I think you earned it.
Oh, definitely.
And if you get the trophies that I came up with, then you really earned it.
If you get all the trophies that Michael has laid out, you deserve not only the Nobel Peace Prize, but you should run a country.
Yep. You could, if you're meticulous enough to get those trophies, you could handle a country. I think you can handle a country.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do some listener feedback. All right. We have a decent amount of feedback here on our Facebook. So I'm just going to kind of go through these. Feel free to interrupt if you hear a good piece of feedback on here that you would like to interject and throw in your two cents. Feel free. All right. Ryan Reynolds says, I only played the one for Xbox. Fair enough.
I don't think I have that game, but oh, you know what? They ported it to Android and I believe iOS, so that's how I played it. It's I'm not sure if you even looked at it. But
I remember
it's a top down.
I remember playing it a little bit back in the day.
Yeah, it's a top down, not beat 'em up. Hack and slash. That's
yeah,
what it
it's
is.
Kinda like, it's kind of like a Baldur's Gate, right? If I remember.
Yeah, I would say something like that.
I think I remember that game. All right, I'm going to skip over yours since you're on the show. Jesse Benson says, I've never played or heard of this game. I'm interested to hear the episode. All right, Jesse, I hope we enticed you to either play or not play this game. Douglas Dalecki Jr. says, it's a good thing you're playing the Tamer NES version. The PC one is not PG. LOL.
Yeah, from what I saw, I didn't see too much of this game. But, yeah, PC versions are definitely not PG.
Yeah, so I guess there's some language and suggestive themes in the PC version that I was unaware of. Trevor Franklin says, I've never played this or even seen it, but the cover makes me think of a cutscene from The Hobbit, and I'm cool with that. Yeah, the cover does kind of seem Hobbit-like.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That I read this comment before, and it made me look at the cover in a different way. And that's really interesting. So thanks for the input, because it made me think differently.
Okay, Matt Daly says, my feedback is... I've wanted to try this game and haven't. Winky face. Okay. Gabe Van Gilder says the I like the PS2 version, never played this original. So I guess maybe PS2 and Xbox is, and maybe it came out on PS2 also.
Yeah. This is on both of those.
Mike Vito says, sweet. I didn't even know there was a Bard's Tale on NES. I've played the Xbox version and it was a great title. Sounds like a lot of people didn't know about the NES version, including myself, but Mark Scott Jr. says, never played this, but looking forward to trying it. Also, happy belated birthday, dude George.
Oh, thank you.
Brad Barley says, I probably saw this at the local video game store, Crown Video, but I don't remember renting it. I probably didn't rent it because it looks similar to Legacy of the Wizard, which is...
I never heard of Legacy of the Wizard.
It is also kind of an RPG adventure game. We'll cover it here pretty soon on the show because I think we got a guest lined up for it. But it is a love it or hate it type of game. Some people love it, some people hate it.
A lot of NES games.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Greg Polander from the SNES podcast says Bard's Tale is a favorite of mine. As a kid, I spent countless hours playing this game and the ones that followed on my C64 and PC. Great game, and I'm super excited over the Bard's Tale 4 project currently on Kickstarter. I had heard FCI had ported this game over to the NES in the 90s when I first got into, you know, Winky Face. I think he's talking about demos, you know, if you know what I mean. And tried it out of curiosity. Considering the NES was a weaker platform than computers, I thought they did a great job porting the game over. I'd still say to get the original computer version, but this version works well in a pinch.
You know, a lot of feedback that I see or hear from Greg here is just... It's always really interesting, and I really thank him. I've listened to him on different podcasts, and he's always got something to say, as much as he doesn't have too much experience with at least the current version. It's always awesome to hear what
his feedback is always detailed, and I appreciate that. And it's usually well written, yes, too. It's not just slapped together, so I can appreciate that. And Greg was on our show two, three episodes ago, I think.
What was that? The Astina?
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. He pronounced it for us, and if you want to hear the correct pronunciation, go back and listen to that episode. As I mispronounce pronunciation, I don't know if you caught that. I didn't do that on purpose, but
I didn't want to say anything.
Aaron Hickman says, I first encountered Bard's Tale in an Interplay 10th anniversary disc my brother got from a friend back in 1997. I remember being absolutely enthralled by Bard's Tale. I loved the detailed map of Scarabray and the little stories you'd have to read out of the included booklet. I recall the different pieces of music that would play when your bard would pick up different spells to use. I love the first-person dungeon crawler genre. It's a shame that NES port of Bard's Tale is a little bit watered down. Did you know there's also a port of Dragon Wars in Famicom? It uses the same D&D style engine as Bard's Tale. If you look around, I believe there's an English prototype out there that just never made it to the West.
Again, Aaron Hickman, you know, I talk to him sometimes. He just gives you an info dump on things, and I love it. And then you get into a tangent, and he just gives you another info dump. This guy is so knowledgeable. I love it.
Yeah, if there was a... it's almost like he went to school to be a video game historian or something, and just didn't tell anybody.
Right.
Dan, I'm going to mispronounce your name, Basiglia, and I apologize for that, Dan.
I'm going to say it's Basiglia, but you know,
okay,
just you know, just a different perspective.
Dan, if you could tell us how to pronounce that, that'd be great.
Yes, please.
I have this on NES and the construction set on PC. Janky as HE double hockey sticks, but a lot of fun nonetheless. Those D&D numbers, though, they just don't translate well to video games.
Yeah,
I don't know a lot about that. I'm not big on D&D. I know you roll dice and things and do some math, but I would think that D&D would work well as far as the math and stuff goes, because the video game handles all that for you. It rolls the dice for you, and it handles all the math.
Well, the thing about not being able to do true D&D on a game is not only, you know, I mean, yeah, you can do dice rolls on the game, but there's a part of D&D where you can act, you know, you can play as your own character.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Can, you know, because you can sit down and interact with the other characters, and that's something you miss in a
Yeah, you're never going to be able to get that in a video game. I can see that part of it.
Yeah.
Let's see, and Gabe Van Gilder comes rounds it out here with, are there any decent D&D games on the NES? I played Warriors of Eternal Sun on Sega Genesis. That game was great. Is there any game that tops that? Do you know of any D&D? Other than the... I know there are D&D games on the NES that are actually D&D licensed games. I think Ultima... Did Ultima ever come out with a game on NES? That's kind of like this game.
I believe that's Ultima 4 came out on NES.
Yeah, that's very similar to this game. There's also a game, and I'm not super familiar with it, but a game called... and this may be... What is Pool of Radiance? Is that the Ultima game?
I don't think it is. I don't know too much about Ultima, because Ultima
Pool of Radiance is Pool of Radiance is a D&D game. So it's Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, colon, Pool of Radiance. So,
Ultima, going back to Ultima for a quick second. Ultima's... I wouldn't say it's an underground game series, but it's definitely hard to get into because it is a true CRPG. You know, the first two games, I believe, or first three, were basically all ASCII, and it was just hard to get into. So, but once you get to Ultima on NES, I would love to hear what you think about it.
Yeah. So, Gabe, I would say Ultima, and there are at least a couple of Advanced Dungeons & Dragons games on the NES, one being Pool of Radiance, and they're both very similar to the Bard's Tale, if you like the Bard's Tale.
Is Swords and Serpents a D&D style game?
I believe it is, actually. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but yeah, you may be right there.
Okay. But the problem is that uses a password system.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. So play that in your Retron 5 for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's kind of rounding us out. George, thank you for coming on and filling in for Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I wish it could have been the three of us, but, you know, things happen. So,
yeah.
Tell everybody one more time how they can find your new. It's a new show. I mean, you've only done like three episodes so far, right?
We're on episode one. There's two episodes.
So two, because I'm counting zero. So two episodes in.
Right. If you want to listen to, you know, Straight from the Horse's Mouth, we're on The Box Fort. That's my website. That's theboxfort.net. And we're hosted on iTunes and Stitcher. For social media, we have a Facebook group that you can join. And if you would like to follow us, my Twitter handle is at Mr. Chief. That's at MisturCheef, and my co-host Eric is at Eric Thomas Games.
All right. Again, thank you for coming on and filling some shoes a little bit there with the history, reading from Wikipedia. And
thanks a lot for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
No problem. And I would also like to say go check out the Retro Junkies at theretrojunkies.com. And I don't think we have any show news, but you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, at NES Dudes. We're also on Google Plus, but that would be Two Dudes in a NES. And we have a website, NESDudes.com, NintendoDudes.com, and TwoDudesInANES.com. We didn't have a voicemail this week from anybody. I guess nobody wanted to call us about the Bard's Tale, but if you want to call us... That number is 77-something-something-something-something. Hang on just a second. Let me look that up so I don't screw you up. You can also, while I'm looking this up, you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher and Spreaker. And what I just tell people is if you Google Two Dudes in a NES, you'll find a lot of stuff.
Oh, you'll find something.
You'll find some stuff about us.
You'll find something, definitely.
That's probably the best way. Just Google Two Dudes in a NES. basically, if you've already found us and you're listening to us right now, then you probably figured that out already. So, but that number is 775-773-8761. Or you can call us using letters if you want to call us, 775-7-RETRO-1. You can do that. We definitely appreciate voicemails. You can call us about anything you want. Of course, we usually like it when you call us and talk to us about the game that's coming up, but or ask us some kind of retro video game related question. But if you just want to call and say, hi, how's it going? You know, whatever. Typical voicemail things. Then you can do that too. All right. You got anything else you'd like to say, George, before we cut out here?
Just give your enemies a little letter A and give them a little letter B.
Sounds good. I'll give them some C and D too. Just kidding.
Oh, well.
Just kidding. All right. So here's some music, and we will see you guys next time. Thank you.